So here's stuff you know. Between groups and within groups designs. Between groups, also called between subjects and cross-sectional. Each participant is in one and only one condition. In most research areas, people choose between groups designs on purpose to study differences. When in application, the participant will usually be in one treatment condition population or the other. So we study differences with a between groups design that emphasizes differences. In one of the pink things that you're going to do, you'll notice that the responses are boxes, not circles. The boxes mean multiple selection. And that exercise, you already did it, huh? That exercise is going to want you to pick all of between groups, between subjects, and cross-sectional. Trying to build that synonym structure. Within groups, also called within subjects, repeated measures, longitudinal, each participant is in all of the treatment conditions. Now, there are blendings of these, which we're going to ignore for a while. They're not that common. They are really cool. If there is an ecological validity to choosing between these, just as people will choose a between groups design when in the real world people are going to be in one or the other, so we run a design that's a between groups design. Sometimes if we're studying changes, we want to run a within groups design so we can watch the population representation move from one to the other. There's more to it than that, and we're going to cover more to it than that, but keep in mind that that's one of the things to pay attention to. Other things that we'll talk more about as we go through and also pick up when we talk about stats. On average, between groups designs are easier to control because you have less total interaction with the participant. The ongoing equivalence period is less, and therefore there's less time to screw anything up. So typically, if you need lots and lots and lots of control, between groups designs are easier to control on average. Notice there's a lot of wiggling there. Yes?
Cool. Well, when we are talking about within groups designs, there are not two experimental designs, right?
Yes. Yeah, there. Some are, some aren't. Trust me. It's a great question. It's going to be a better question in about 5 minutes. The within groups design is often chosen because we're going to follow something, but within groups designs are also more efficient because you get more data from each participant. In the between groups design, you only get data for one condition. In the within groups, you get it for both. That's efficient. Also, statistical analyses of the same data, treating them as between groups and within groups, most of the time will give you a more powerful result from the within groups analysis. Now, there are some assumptions that it doesn't always work that way, but on average, if you collect within groups data and then analyze it as between or as within, you will get a more powerful result treating it as within. There's more to it, and we'll get to the more to it as we go. There's a lot of bits and pieces to that one. And so what you should see here is that in the between groups design, different people are in different conditions. And within groups design, the same people are in both. I just love the slide. I can't give the slide up. I change the names every once in a while for fun. This is one of my oldest slides. And I can't. You shouldn't really show this to a bunch of graduate students. See between and within? But I just love the slide. So at this point, when I say what kind of design is it, you have to tell me two things about that design to make me happy. I need to know whether it's a true experiment or not, and I need to know if it's between or within. Because once I know which of those four it is, my brain's just spinning. What am I worried about? What kind of confounds am I worried about? What am I looking for? What kind of controls am I looking for? Because the way that you fret depends upon the condition you're in. I want you to notice the language. True experiment with proper random assignment and counterbalancing. We'll talk more about that. That's a word we use in within groups designs. With proper assignment and initial equivalence and manipulation of the IV by the researcher, that defines the true experiment. And whether it's between or within, the results might be causally interpretable. Depends on the ongoing equivalence. Non-experiment, which right now we are defining as anything else, has no hope of causal interpretability. We still worry about ongoing equivalence because cleaner studies are more likely to give us the right result, whether it's associative or causal. But unless you have a true experiment, causal interpretability is immediately off the table. And if you have a true experiment, does not guarantee causal interpretability. We're going to keep hitting that because there's an asymmetry there that is a little bit complicated, and frankly, there's an asymmetry there that not everybody is taught their first time or a couple of times through this. So which is which? Each participant in our object identification study was asked to select whether they wanted to complete the visual or the auditory condition. So, between or within? How do you know? What's the word?
Or.
Fantastic. And is this an experiment or a non-experiment?
Non-experiment.
Because notice, I have the word select in there, but what they did was self-assign. Selection's done. They're in the study. External population validity's been served. They're in the study. Now, even though the word select was used, this was assignment, and it was self-assignment. And that makes this a between group non-experiment. Each participant completed both the visual and the auditory in a randomly chosen order for each. Between or within?
Within.
True experiment? Yeah. Randomly assigned. Here's the thing. In a between groups design, what you're randomly assigning is which one condition you're in. In a within groups design, as we'll talk about more, in a within groups design, what you're randomly assigning is the order you complete the conditions. And the hope of that random assignment of condition order, that's what's called counterbalancing. The hope is that the people in this condition, half of them did it first, half of them did it second, and so that balances out. And in the other condition, half of them did it first and half of them did it second, and that balances out. We'll see. Because randomization didn't work all that well. How's all this other stuff going to work? Each participant was randomly assigned to complete either the visual or the auditory. Randomly assigned, true or non? Complete visual or auditory? Bingo. And each participant completed first the visual and then the auditory.
Within.
Is that random assignment?
No.
Wait. I held a constant. I held order constant. Constancy is a good thing. Not here. Because we don't know if the better performance in the auditory is because it's the auditory condition or the second time they've done the task. Depending upon the nature of the task, people might on average do better the second time, or they might do better the first time. That's all stuff you have to know from industry standards. All right, we're going to call it there. I like that spot. So we're going to come back and we're going to use the rest of this to summarize and organize some things, and then we'll finish up.